Foreign aid is back in the firing line as the Federal Treasurer prepares to hand down his mid-year economic update, or MIEFO. It's been reported, as you've heard, that about $3.7 billion will go from the aid budget over the next 4 years, with funding returning to Howard-era levels. The news comes as Foreign Minister Julie Bishop arrives in Port Moresby for the annual Australia-Papua New Guinea Ministerial Forum. PNG is one of the top recipients of Australian aid, but the two also share close ties on defence, policing and, of course, asylum seeker policy. Immigration Minister Scott Morrison, Defence Minister David Johnston and Justice Minister Michael Keenan are also attending the talks. Professor Stephen Howes is the Director of the Australian National University's Development Policy Centre and he joins us this morning from Canberra. Stephen Howes, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Hi, good morning.
Let's start with MIEFO and those reported cuts to the aid budget. Looks like another $3.7 billion on top of the previous cuts. What impact do you expect that would have?
Well, these cuts are actually much larger than the earlier cuts because that $7 billion figure they had earlier was compared to a scenario under Labor in which the aid budget was going to continue to increase. And what the coalition did at that stage was just say we're going to hold the aid budget flat. But these budgets are taking money out from what was already a flat baseline. So they're enormous. Cumulatively, since the coalition has taken over, we're going to see the aid budget cut in real terms by a third. And that's by far the largest cut ever to the aid program. It's not unusual for governments to cut aid, if they're facing a deficit. Hawke did it and Howard did it. But that was, that's about 10 to 15%, which was the first round of cuts that the coalition brought in. But
and you're saying this $3.7 billion represents a third, a cut of a third?
That plus the earlier cuts that they announced. It's a third compared to what the aid budget was when the coalition took over in 2012-13. So it's the biggest aid cuts ever. And in terms of our generosity, which is our aid budget divided by our gross national income, this is going to take that down to an all-time low, to the lowest level it's ever been, about 0.23 by my calculations, which is about where it was at about 2002 when we decided, that was enough and that we should start to increase our aid program. So It's unprecedented, I think, what's been announced, or what's reported to have been announced in the MIEFO.
It's reported that the Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, argued with Matthias Cormann about this. She's clearly been outgunned by the folks in the economic portfolio. She wouldn't be the first minister to argue with the finance minister or the treasurer about cuts to her portfolio, but she has expressed her frustration over these proposed cuts. How difficult does this make her job?
I think it makes it very difficult. I mean, first of all, it'll make Australia look very bad internationally. It'll make us down in the bottom half of aid donors in terms of generosity, down with the likes of Portugal, countries that are renowned for their stinginess when it comes to aid. But also, Julie Bishop justified the first round of cuts by saying that, all right, we weren't going to increase aid, but the coalition would bring predictability. And there'd be a assured $5 billion of aid every year. Of course, that predictability has now gone completely out the window, and the aid program, which has still been struggling to absorb the first round of cuts, is now going to have to prepare for a second round. And, there has been a sort of paralysis in the aid program with the first round of aid cuts, plus the integration of AusAid into DFAT and a large number of redundancies. We felt that the aid program was finally getting out of that, but this would just plunge it, I think, back into a prolonged period of indecision and delay.
Well, let's look at Papua New Guinea. It's a top recipient of Australian aid. Would you expect the cuts to hit PNG?
No. I think PNG will be quarantined and probably Indonesia. I think where these cuts, will be felt will be on things like our humanitarian budget. And World Food Programme's, already struggling just to feed Syrian refugees. We'll be able to make an even smaller contribution to that kind of humanitarian appeal. Now, PNG will be protected because it is our closest neighbour, and in particular because right now we have the Manus Island Agreement. We really need PNG to help us on that agreement, and that will tend to then ring-fence the PNG aid allocation.
And, I mean, you're saying, in other words, we need them to take asylum seekers who would otherwise come to Australia, and therefore they're protected. But does it make sense to say, well, we have to twin this, we have to twin the size of our aid budget to what our foreign policy is, and maybe it's about this region, and it's much more narrowly focused, and that must be our foreign, they are our foreign ambitions as well?
I think that's true. We've always had a regionally focused aid program, you know, with PNG and Indonesia as the two largest recipients. And I think, you know, everyone agrees that makes a lot of sense. I'm just saying, if you are going to impose such massive cuts onto the aid program, I don't think it makes sense to ring fence your largest aid recipient, especially when, you know, that it's a rather troubled aid program, and you know, PNG's you know, not acting in a way that would promote the effectiveness of that aid program. So if you are going to cut aid, you'd want to see PNG on the table, but I doubt that it will be.
All right, well, then we've got this bevy of ministers going to Port Moresby. Talk to me about the nature of our relationship with PNG beyond aid.
Yes, well, the relationship has broadened beyond aid, and Julie Bishop, you know, to her credit, has put a lot of energy into strengthening the relationship. I think beyond aid, you know, probably the most important part is the Manus Island Agreement, and that's why, you know, for example, Scott Morrison's going. But we also have an important defence relationship. We have growing business links with the PNG boom. I think there are more academic links now with PNG. Probably the thinnest part of the relationship remains people-to-people links. There are just very few, you know, Australians living in Papua New Guinea, for example.
I was interested to read also that with this incredible energy renaissance going on in PNG, thanks to the windfalls from that $19 billion ExxonMobil-led PNG LNG project up there, that actually PNG is now in a position that its investments in Australia at $1.8 billion exceed our aid to them.
I think that's probably a one-off. That's right. I'm not sure if that's the or search loan or more generally. But, I mean, you know, PNG is still a very poor country. It's very reliant on foreign investment. It doesn't have large companies itself, you know, as China does, that are going around the world. So despite the resource boom, and the other thing to bear in mind is that, you know, PNG is a bit like Australia. I mean, the resource boom is over in a lot of ways. So PNG is going to be facing some difficult times in the year ahead. It's certainly going to need the aid that Australia provides. The question is, you know, how well it can utilise it.
And what are we trying to do in terms of improving governance in PNG, particularly with this windfall from the LNG projects in that country? What do we want to secure for our aid in terms of improved governance?
I think there are two objectives that we've been pursuing. One is we've been encouraging PNG to set up a sovereign wealth fund so that some of the resource revenues get invested for the future.
How are we going on that?
Well, it's been a very protracted process. PNG came very close in 2012 and actually passed legislation, but the government then said that legislation wasn't procedurally valid, and so it's gone back to the drawing board. It has now come up with a new draft, which is quite different to the original draft. But I would say a protracted process, but too early to give up hope.
And are we in any way limited in our negotiations, in how robust we can be, I think is the word they use in your circles, in those negotiations, given that we need PNG on the refugee front?
Yeah, well, I think that's especially evident in what I was going to give as a sort of a second thrust, which is on controlling corruption. I mean, I think everyone would agree corruption's a major problem in PNG. The current Prime Minister Peter O'Neill, you know, came into office with very strong sort of anti-corruption credentials and set up this anti-corruption task force sweep, which was very vigorous and successful in prosecuting corruption. But it then actually levelled allegations against the Prime Minister himself, and he then turned around and shut the task force down. And it was very unfortunate, I think, that Australia, despite all the emphasis we give to tackling corruption, didn't issue any sort of public protest at that kind of measure. And I think you're right. You know, we are constrained in what we can say and do because at the end of the day, you know, right now, we probably need PNG more than they need us.
Thank you so much for your analysis this morning.
You're welcome.
Professor Stephen Howes, an expert on foreign aid and the director of the Australian National University's Development Policy Centre.